The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Sportage. When you drive your new Kia Sportage, prepare to be noticed. The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Sportage. Peace of mind as standard. Quality guaranteed. Kia, home of the 7-year warranty.
Our text number is 51551. Our email address, john@rte.ie. Now, with the President's visit, there's been a lot of talk this week about the Irish contribution to British society. Well, my next guest is an English singer and songwriter who has made quite a contribution to Irish music culture, not least through his penning of the song Clare to Hear. Ralph McTell, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Nice to talk to you, Ralph. And you join us this morning from a BBC studio in Cornwall. I'm just wondering, have you been paying much attention to President Higgins' visit to England this week?
Well, you can't get away from it. It's on all the media. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, I wasn't familiar with the President before this occasion, but it seems to have been, really very well received, and everyone's very well. People that I know are very, very interested and fascinated by it, and it's astonishing, really, to think this is the first state visit by an Irish president. So it seems to be making great waves with everybody. There's a bit of controversy, inevitably, I suppose, about amnesties and things like that. But generally, it seems to be very, very well appreciated.
And what do you make yourself, for instance, of Martin McGuinness attending that banquet in Windsor Castle?
Well, it's all part of reconciliation, isn't it? I think things couldn't go on as they were, and I don't suppose Mr. McGuinness thought he'd ever sit down with the Queen of England and enjoy a dinner together a few years back. But, we have to move on. Things have to move forward. We've got to get on.
Well, Ralph, you yourself would be very close to, you would know quite a bit about Anglo-Irish relations, because I'm just thinking back that in the early 70s, you were at the time the only British artist to tour Northern Ireland at the height of the Troubles. How come?
Well, I never had a problem with it, because, as you point out, I first visited Ireland in 1969, which was actually about the beginning of the Troubles, or the first protest marches were starting, and I hadn't been aware of the situation, the non-emancipation of Catholics in the North and all that sort of thing. So there was the civil rights thing going on in America that we were all aware of. But I had such a wonderful time on my first visit to Belfast. I played at the university there, and I was invited back. And in that time, of course, between that 1969 and 70s, I had, in the early 70s, I had the good fortune to have a hit record. And I just had never had a problem. And I used to say to friends, you've got to come, it's absolutely fantastic. And, Billy Connolly and I both have a similar affection for Ireland. And especially, during the Troubles, the Northern Irish audiences were absolutely fantastic and so grateful for anybody that came over. I felt like, I was treated like royalty. I had an absolutely wonderful time and did my best to persuade other people that there was, as entertainment, that's what the people needed. You don't ask who's carrying what card when they come in. You just get on and play music, which is the universal language and, helps to build bridges, I think, anyway.
And would you have had mixed audiences from Protestant and Catholic backgrounds?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, no problem.
And Ralph, just first of all, before we get to a song that everyone knows, it's their song of emigration. Have you any Irish roots?
I hope so. That's all I can say. I have a great fellow feeling for Ireland, and so many musical friends and influences and people that have enhanced my life. When I was a little boy, we had Irish neighbours who lived upstairs in the building where we lived. When I was in hospital, when I had an accident, I had an Irish nurse. I came home after, 15 weeks in hospital with an Irish accent, actually. My brother told me that. It was extraordinary. It goes back a long way. My musical friends, from the Dubs, from the Fury Brothers, who actually were the first ones to cover From Clare to Here, actually. Would you like me to tell you a story about that?
By all means.
Yeah, well, I had this song. The song began when I was working on a building site in London, and a young Irish boy, I know his name was Michael, I don't know his surname, he'd put his age on, he was about 15, hadn't even started shaving, but he worked like a man, and we were digging in trenches together, putting footings in and so on. And I just said to him one day, you know, I felt quite compassionate for the poor boy because he was a long way from home, and that's how he responded. I said to him, you know, how does it, it must feel strange here, Michael, you know. He said, oh, Jez, a long way from Claire to here. And I just remembered, because he'd put Claire first, if he'd said, oh, it's a long way from here to Claire, I would have forgotten about it. But years go by, and I'm sitting there thinking about, well, the lump had occurred, that thing where there was, again, exploitation of imported labour and so on. And suddenly this expression, you know, it's a long way from Claire to here, came to my mind. And I started singing the line, and a song grew around it. And I gave it to a friend of mine called Noel Murphy, another Irish friend of mine in London. And I had to go off to America to tour. And when I came back, my wife said to me, you know, Noel's ringing up every other day for this tune, for this song you gave him. I said, oh, it must be from Claire to here. So the day I got back, I went round to Noel's house. I sang him the song. He said, I have it now. I said, you sure you have it? You've only heard it once. He said, I have it. And he off he went to Birmingham. And in the audience that night were his old friends, Eddie and Finbar. They heard the song, and to be fair to Noel, he had only heard it once. He got the chorus slightly differently to the way I wrote it, but now the whole world sings it the way Noel sang it, and I'm the only one who sings it the way... Well, me and Jim McCann, bless him, he's the only other chap that sings the tune exactly as I wrote it.
But, and had you been to Clare?
Well, not when I wrote the song, I don't think, no. It was after that.
Yeah, you know. So that you hadn't actually been in the county of Clare.
No, I hadn't. That's the irony.
I suppose a lot of people who aren't familiar with the roots of the song might think, well, first of all, that it was written by an Irishman, and secondly, was written by somebody familiar with County Clare, but there you are.
Well, let me tell you, I picked up a book of Irish traditional music not that long ago, and I saw From Clare to Here, traditional Irish, and I thought that's about the best compliment I could have ever had. So I'm basking in that. I appear to have written a song that people consider as a traditional Irish tune. That'll do me.
And you're going to sing it for us now?
I'm going to try. It's a bit early, but I'll do my best.
We'll make allowances for that.
All right. This is the way I wrote it. Slightly slower than the way that most people will have heard it, I guess.
There's four who share this room, and we work hard for the crack. And sleeping late on Sundays, well, I never get to mass. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long, long way, and it gets further day by day. Oh, it's a long way from Clare to here. When Friday comes around, well, Terry's only into fighting. Me ma would like a letter home, but I'm too tired for writing. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long way from Clare to here. And it's a long, long way, and it gets further day by day. Oh, it's a long way from Clare to here. It almost breaks my heart when I think about Josephine. I told her I'd be coming home with pockets full of green. Oh, it's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long, long way, and it gets further day by day. It's a long way from Clare to here. Now the only time that I feel all right is when I'm into drinking. It sort of eases the pain of it, and it levels out my thinking. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long, long way, and it gets further day by day. It's a long way from Clare. I sometimes hear a fiddle play, or maybe it's a notion. I dream I see white horses dance upon that other ocean. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long, long way, and it gets further day by day. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long way from Clare to here.
That's lovely, Ralph McTell. The Ralph McTell remix, I suppose you could call it, of Clare to Here, Ralph, and still resonates today because, unfortunately, in Ireland over the last few years, we've seen a resumption of that tide of emigration. So it's, as I say, I'm sure it's played in many a house or many a pub in Ireland and abroad and brings people back to their roots. And it's been very good to you, of course.
Well, yes. I mean, Nancy Griffith, the great Nancy Griffith, did a version of it, invited me up to the Albert Hall, and she did it different again. I had to relearn it for that show. It's extraordinary, you know. I mean, I think it's lovely when a song travels by itself, you know. I mean, without any major promotion, just because people love to sing it, that's a great compliment, you know, and something one ought to strive for, really.
Mm. And over the years, Ralph, I'm conscious that this year, 2014, I hope you don't be reminded of, you hit 70.
Yes, I do.
And does that...
Something of an achievement, really.
Well, do you see it like that?
Well, I was doing a concert just in the week for Danny Thompson, the great English double bass player, who's just about played with everybody in the world. And he's celebrating his 75th birthday and still playing music and still playing with all the vim and vigour that he ever had. And somebody said to me, you know, growing old, somebody sent me a message asking, he said, growing old is actually a privilege not afforded to everyone. And it's a good little maxim to keep in the back of your mind. I'm very determined to keep on pushing away and keeping writing. I'm working all the time. If I'm not actually sitting down with a guitar, which is rare, I'm working on words. And if I'm not working on words, I'm thinking about stuff. And I am very grateful for the opportunity and the fact that there's an audience out there and still driven by the old creative juices, you know.
And you obviously have to mind the voice. So packing in the fags, whenever that happened, probably helped.
Yeah, I'm so pleased I managed to. I smoked for a long time. You know, when I was a kid, I started when I was about 13. But I actually broke it. It's a tough one to crack, but goodness, it's worth it. It's amazing now. Someone comes into a pub or someone who's just had a cigarette, you can smell it and you think, God, I must have smelled like that as well. So, and my kids remember when I used to tuck them in at night, said the last thing we could smell when you tucked us in, Daddy, was your fingers, you know, from smoking a cigarette. I didn't smoke in front of them, but I'm so glad I quit. I encourage anyone to go for it, you know.
And Ralph, I'm told that a parrot or a budgie had a role in you quitting.
Yes, it did. I bought a parrot to entertain the children. Well, she bonded with me and she spoke in my voice. And when she was finally had to hop the perch and go somewhere because she got a little bit stressed by something or other, probably the move when we moved home, I gave her to two friends of ours to look after. She thought she looked much more attractive without feathers, and so she used to pull them out and look like the last chicken in the supermarket. You know, it was like really quite awful and distressing to look at her. But she used to talk to me. We'd talk. I'd create conversations and phrases so it sounded like, you know, she knew what was going on. I'd come in the morning. She'd say, morning. I'd say, good morning, Bank. She said, should we have a cup of tea? And I'd say, yeah. And then she'd say, put the kettle on. And I'd go around the corner and do that. And this was our little love call to each other, you know. And then one morning I came down and she started coughing on the perch, like really hacking away like an old pensioner upstairs on the bus. And I turned to the kids and I said, ah, she's coughing just like John, who was my tour manager. And they went, no, Daddy, that's not John, that's you. I went, oh, my God, is that what I sound like? And I determined then with Albert, as she was later called, Alberta, to quit the fags and no going back.
And how long ago was that?
It's about 18 years, I think.
I see. And you haven't been tempted since?
Oh, when I'm tempted, I know I've had too much to drink.
Right, okay. That's the trigger. So you drink less.
Slightly.
And Ralph, the music business today, so different from when you started out. You have things like The X Factor and The Voice and people, I suppose, people almost becoming overnight sensations. But a different sort of business than when you started out.
I wouldn't change places with any of them. I've had a most marvellous life through music. The people I've met, the influence, the enrichment I've had through this very slow... I feel I might be on the edge of a breakthrough any day now. But, you know, that's the way my life has been. And when I had the chance of, you know, kind of overground pop recognition, I was appalled. I didn't. That's not the way I wanted to go. I'm still, you know, with the chaps digging away with the in my mind, and I love... The acoustic guitar, it's never going to be, you know, a pop driver, as it were, a pop music driver. I love the process that I've been through and how my life's been enriched by music. And I wouldn't... The idea of someone having a competition and then making a hit record, and then what? I mean, it's all about singing. It's not about music. All the hours we've spent learning to play our instruments, you know, and write the songs to fit the instrumentation, really. I just don't get it at all. Thankfully, there is a great, wonderful, wide world, especially in Ireland, and growing so, and very strong in England too, of acoustic, great acoustic music, people enthused and excited about making music together, and long may it continue.
Indeed. And we're going to move on now to the second song you're going to sing for us this morning, and it's called First Song. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's a love song. I wrote a song. One of my first songs was written for my wife, who I met in Paris when we were both kids. And I wrote her a song, and I recorded it on my first album. And then years go by, things change. Not that many years, but things, sentiments mature, ideas change, words change, and yet I'll play it for you.
Great stuff.
I've written words that say I'm leaving, and words express the pain. Old songs lose young meanings, but new ones they gain. From the changes that I've been through and the new ones that I am coming to, and you were my first song, and I still. Oh, sure, I still get feelings to get back on the road, and I still get leanings to forget the things I know about myself and the changes that I've gone through and I am coming to. But you were my first song, and I still. Can words express true meanings? I mean the words are still the same. Old loves lose young feelings, but new ones they gain. From the changes that I've been through and the new ones that I am coming to. You were my first song, and I still. Oh, you were my first song, and I still.
You were my first song, and I still love you.
Lovely stuff, lovely stuff. That's Ralph McTell with First Song. And Ralph is coming to Ireland in May. It's called the Celtic Cousins Tour, 9th of May in the Helix here in Dublin, the 10th in the Theatre Royal in Waterford, and the 11th of May in CIT in Cork. And we can't let you go, Ralph, without asking you about The Streets of London, a song that has been very good to you, but also to hundreds of artists who have covered it. First of all, tell us all about it, how it came about, and perhaps you even give us a bar or two of it.
Well, it's, you know, I was a very young man, very socially aware, I guess, and there was a whole movement, wasn't there, about, you know, songs of protest and songs of growing awareness. Songs were being written about subjects that no one else had written about. And I had a friend who was sort of alienated, mostly through the use of, I'm afraid, hard drugs, you know, and so on. And I felt a lot of compassion for him, but then kind of it changed to sort of annoyance, really, that a young man as fit and as clever and as intelligent should be feeling like this when there are others around him, especially where we live in London. So I used characters that I'd seen around town and so on, and put this song together. And I played it to a friend of mine who was a semi-pro musician, and he thought it was too sad, so I didn't play it for years. In fact, it would have been available on my first album, but I finally was persuaded to do it on my second album by the great Gus Dudgeon, and it was the last track I recorded on an album called Spiral Staircase. And I think I would like to play that version for you, although my voice has broken twice since then, and I now sing at least four semitones lower. I'll try and give you a few bars of the way it came out back in 1969, first of all.
And Ralph, before we hear that, do you ever grow tired of singing it at your gigs?
Well, good question, John, but I'm very fortunate because of the subject matter of the song and the reverence in which the song seems to be held. I could never parody, I could never take it for granted. It has changed my life and the lives of my family and everything. It's not because of riches, it's because of the doors that it's opened to my other creative work, where I've worked and so on, and given me a lifestyle which many musicians who started off at the same time as me have not been able to, you know, pursue. So I have to be reverential towards it, and thankfully the subject matter is such that as soon as I start to sing it, it all comes back, you know, the feelings, the young man, the ideas and so on that inspired it in the first place.
Great. Well, it's been a great pleasure to talk to you, Ralph. And as I said, you're going to give us a few bars of it. And
thank you very much.
Take good care of yourself and enjoy the gigs in May.
I will. Thank you very much.
Have you seen the old man in the closed down market, kicking up the papers with his worn-out shoes? In his eyes you see no pride, and held loosely at his side, yesterday's paper telling yesterday's news. So how can you tell me that you're lonely, and you say for you the sun don't shine?
Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London, show you something to make you change your mind. Have you seen the old girl who walks the streets of London, dirt in her hair and her clothes in rags? She's no time for talking, she just keeps right on walking, carrying her home in two carrier bags. So how can you tell me you're lonely, and say for you that the sun don't shine? Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London, show you something to make you change your mind.
Text 51551. The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.